Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, July the 6th. Tonight, we're going to talk Dallas-Fort Worth sports with our good friends David Busby and Carlos Torres. We're going to take a look at the Rangers, of course. We're going to spend a lot of time on the Rangers. They're 41-44, and they're getting ready for the All-Star game, but they're really getting ready to make some big decisions. Are they going to buy? Are they going to sell? Usually, teams will do one or the other. I actually think they should do both. And, in fact, may end up with a better team after August 1st than what they had before. So we'll get into that with David and with Carlos. We're also going to get updates about the Dallas Stars, the Dallas Mavericks, and the Dallas Cowboys right now. Of course, those teams in the offseason, the Cowboys, though, are headed to training camp here in the next couple of weeks and will be playing exhibition games pretty soon. I think they play their first exhibition game in the first week of August. I am going to say something tonight and wish a very happy birthday to President Bush, who is 71 today, President George W. Bush, who, of course, has a big connection to this area, and particularly the Texas Rangers. It was under Mr. Bush's watch that the Rangers really developed a lot of good young players that then became the backbone of the teams of the 1990s. Players like Ivan Rodriguez, Juan Gonzalez, Dean Palmer, Rusty Greer, Kevin Brown, Kenny Rogers, Darren Oliver. I may miss a couple of them, but those seven right there were a big part of their success in the late 70s. And those guys came out of that time frame when Mr. Bush was the managing general partner. Of course, we also have to give a lot of credit to Tom Grieve, who was the general manager. So happy birthday to President Bush. Let me say hello to David. How are you, David?
I'm doing good.
Good
doing
to
good
have you.
Tonight.
Great. And how is Carlos?
Doing great, Silvio. Thanks for having us.
My pleasure.
Oh,
any
and
thoughts, you guys? Yeah, go ahead. Because I was going to ask you guys for a reaction to what I said about not necessarily President Bush, of course. We wish him a happy birthday. But what I was talking about, the players that came out of his time here, Carlos.
Well, I was going to actually wish you and Beatrice a happy anniversary. I know y'all just had one. And
oh, okay. Well, thank you so
was.
Much. That was yesterday, actually. Thank you. Thank you very much.
How
what
many
number?
Years?
31.
31. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you so much. I think David was not born yet when we got married.
That's
is that right, David, or is that about right?
In what year?
86.
No, he was born. He was born.
I'm like, I'm only, 21 anniversaries behind you?
Oh, okay, all right. So you'll catch up one
ours
of these days.
Ours is 10 tomorrow.
That's right. You'll catch up one of these days. You'll pretty soon we'll slow down ours and you'll speed up yours. And you can catch up with us that way. But I just wanted to get your reaction to what I said about, well, again, not necessarily
yeah.
President Bush. We wish him a happy birthday, of course. But I was thinking of what I said about the players that came out of the farm system. David, I think that's
yep.
when you got involved with the Rangers, or you became a fan, right, during that time, David?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was late 80s. Really when I was kind of understanding the Rangers and all that, and also with the old Arlington Stadium. But, yeah, I mean, just watching this team, and you can't forget Rusty Greer. I don't know if you mentioned him or not, but you got to remember him as well.
I mentioned Rusty Greer, yes.
But, I mean, just the names that you mentioned were just top-notch players and just fun to watch. They had great chemistry, I thought. It was just a powerhouse with that team. Unfortunately, it was just like, could we get the pitching we had, you know, a few years ago with that offensive lineup that we had for the 90s, and who knows how many World Series this team could have actually won. It was just like, the one missing link that we had was just that starting pitching. But it was amazing watching that team play and just racking
up all those.
Yeah,
they were fun. They were really a lot of fun. How about you, Carlos? What do you remember of all those young guys who came up in the late 80s, early 90s? Juan Gonzalez, Rusty Greer, so many great guys.
Yeah, that was, you know, what I like to say was the genesis of the later, you know, or the most recent teams. I mean, let's think about that. From the 70s and the 80s, the Rangers had nothing to, you know, nothing to show. I mean, we never were, we consistently got our rear ends handed to us, season in and season out. So it wasn't until President Bush, went in there and invested some money. And I mean, he was very committed to the Rangers. And I'll still say this about him. He's still committed to the Rangers. He's out there all the time. He's throwing pitches. He's a huge Rangers fan. In his mind, that's still his team. And he came in and invested money as a partner, and, you know, got us a new stadium and got us better players and made us, once again, he was the genesis to the teams that we had in the last, 10, 15 years.
No, I agree. And there were two big trades that happened on his watch that had a big impact on the team. Sammy Sosa was traded to the White Sox, if you remember. But he was, at the time, nobody had thought, of course. They didn't have any room for him. That's why they traded him, because they had, you know, they had all those other guys. And, of course, the other big trade that was made on his watch was when they brought Nolan Ryan here in 89. And I think that was a real turning point, David. I mean, if you think back of those days, I mean, I remember every time, David, I don't know if you remember this, but every time Ryan pitched, the place would be sold out. I mean, it was like, it was just unbelievable. And I had the pleasure of watching Nolan Ryan a couple of times. In fact, one time I saw Nolan Ryan with a perfect game going to the bottom of the ninth or top of the ninth against the Detroit Tigers. And he got the first guy out, and then the next guy got a single to spoil the no-hitter and the perfect game. I remember watching that. What an unbelievable night that was. Those were good years for the Rangers. Not in the sense that they won divisions, but I think they set the table for the division titles that came later. Well, let's talk about this year's team, 41-44. I think the biggest difference between this team and last year is that last year they blew 17 saves for the whole season. This year they've already blown 18. So if you just think about that, they're 41-44. If out of those 18, let's say they had only, instead of 18, let's say it was 3, this team would have 56 wins. They would actually be within 5 or 6 games of the Astros. So what a disaster the bullpen has been, Carlos.
Yeah, it's been a huge letdown. Bush, he's blown quite a few of them. Several guys. I mean, they just, even with significant leads, we're in the seventh inning, 3 weeks ago, I think we were up by 7, and against the Blue Jays, I think? I think we were up by 7 and ended up losing by 6 on top of that. I mean, they scored like 13, 14 unanswered runs in like the last 3 innings of the game. To me, that's the biggest problem with the Rangers is the bullpen. Starting pitching's doing okay, but it seems like starting around the 6th inning, we're just getting lit up. And if you can't hold a lead in baseball, I mean, as we know, baseball's a momentum sport. So once you open the door just barely and people start coming through those through that door.
That's right. David?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to top on and add to what Carlos has said, but, I mean, this no one really expected this team to do what they've done. They were expecting, you know, to possibly be in a mix with Houston, but Houston is just blowing everyone's mind as far as how they're playing with fielding and hitting and just the camaraderie that they've gotten. Because I was expecting these two teams to kind of go back and forth with the possibility of Seattle being in the mix. But it's now, you know, a mix of basically the Angels and Seattle and the Rangers battling for who wants to be second and hopefully, you know, be under 10 games instead of 17 games back. But, I mean,
what Carlos was saying with this, team, I mean, who would have known that Sam Dyson would have, you know, blown game after game after game after game, and then, you know, we get rid of him to the Giants, and then you bring in Bush, which I was hoping he would have been our closer to begin with. I still think he has the capability of being that. I think a lot of it has to be someone needs to get in his mind and make him stay focused. I think he just hasn't had the focus that he needs to be into that role. So I think maybe having an off season and possibly rethink about that at the beginning of next season, that he could be a one heck of a closer because he's got some outstanding power and behind his pitch with his fastball. He's got some great cutters, unbelievable curveball that it's hard to see and even hit. But, I mean, it's just – I think he's going to be the closer going down the road, but I think someone just needs to help him mentally stay focused. And then with our starting – and then with our starting pitching, it's just been – it's been a roller coaster. Who's going to pitch this game? Who's going to pitch that game with, you know, Cole Hamels being out, and now he's back, and he's just kind of getting back in the routine of things. Martin Perez still hasn't shown what he's capable of, which I really thought this would kind of be his breakout year. Yu Darvish is kind of being the most consistent, I should say, but he's just – he's not getting the run support that he needs. I mean, he's leading the team with 6 wins as far as starting pitching. But then our bullpen, like Carlos was saying, has just been crumbling that we just don't have – we don't have what it takes to be that caliber team that can go and take on Houston and dominate like they've been doing year after year.
That's right.
Now
exactly.
Houston's dominating and beating us, and we're only beating them, you know, 2-3 times so far out of the season.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, you're exactly right. I think that it's that bullpen that I thought that was one of their strengths when we were talking back in the spring. Not only I, but a lot of people thought the bullpen was going to be their one of their strong points, and it just completely collapsed. Now, I didn't think that Odor would be hitting 200 also. I mean, he's been a disappointment too. I mean, last year I think he hit 260, but he's basically either he hits a home run or he strikes out.
Home run.
I mean, it doesn't seem to have to be anything in between there, guys. Carlos?
Yeah, I mean, when he gets a hold of one, it seems like he's swinging for the fences all the time. But when he does get a hold of one, it's a thing of beauty to watch. But, yeah, he's striking out a lot, and he's striking out a lot on his knees. That's how hard he's swinging. That's something I noticed about him, that he's swinging for the fences too much. He got that big, fat contract, which I was really happy about, but he's really going to have to work on becoming a more patient batter out there.
Right. What I don't understand with Odor, and I want to run this idea by both of you guys, he's very quick. Now they're shifting him so that they've got 3 guys on the right side, and they've got the third baseman practically playing shortstop all the time. I mean, they've closed the infield, so the only chance he has to hit the ball is if he hits a home run or manages to get the ball through the infield, but it's tough because of the way they're playing him. So what I don't understand is why, and maybe this is happening, and I don't know if it is or it isn't, but if I was the coach, I would say to Odor, look, drop a few bunts down the third base line. You've got the speed, and you're going to get on base. And then if you start bunting and bringing that into your game, that shift is going to open up a little bit on you because they're not going to be able to be all on one side as they are doing right now. I don't know why he's not bunting more. I know that bunting is always easier said than done, guys, but David, that's what I would tell him. I mean, that's what I would say. You know, stop dropping a few bunts down the third base line. You're going to get on base just about every time, David.
Yeah, I mean, I would have expected him to be closer to batting 300 and everything instead of 216. And I mean, he's still on pace to hit over possibly 25 home runs. I know last year was an unbelievable year where he hit 33 for a second baseman. I think his partner in crime, Elvis, needs to sit down and tell him how to be patient in the box, because Elvis is having one heck of a year as far as playing and all that. I mean, I've never seen Elvis have this kind of year before, even on the field. And, you know, he's already got 11 home runs, most he's ever had, to my knowledge.
Point of the year, you mean? I think he had more than 11 before, but at this point of the year, I mean, he's on a pace to hit 300 and hit 25 home runs, which is, and drive in 85 runs. I mean, that would be really good production. But that's Carlos, I don't know. I mean, you were a baseball player. Is it that easy to learn how to bunt a little bit, especially considering that he's a left-hand? I mean, he's a left-handed batter, which means that he could bunt down the third base line. And the way they're shifting him, I don't know why he doesn't do it, Carlos.
Yeah, I he just, you know, two words, Pete Incaviglia. I mean, that's who he reminds me of, at least the way he's playing, you know, at bat this year. But, I mean, bunting is an art. It's definitely an art. You have to spend a lot of time at the cages trying to, you know, master that, or someone throwing you some live BP. But, yeah, because and him being left-handed, the problem is that they can jam him pretty good. But he's not the butt-type guy, and I don't know if they want to work on that. What you're saying makes total sense to me, and I love it. But, yeah, no, I don't see him much as a butt guy.
No, he doesn't have to be like the Shields, who everybody expects to bunt. But if he just dropped 10 bunts in a year – he would have 10 less strikeouts. I'll put it that way. He might hit.
That is true.
You know, I mean, just see the strikeouts are just killing him. Now, let me put an idea on the table. I know this is the time of the year when a lot of teams begin to think about buying and selling. I actually think the Rangers should do both, and they should try to move a couple of veterans, namely Darvish and Lucroy, who are free agents anyway. So you're going to probably lose them. Certainly Darvish, and maybe Lucroy they could sign, but I'm not sure I would want to make a huge commitment to Lucroy because he's getting up there in age as well. So you take those two guys and you try to move them to a contender, pick up some young players, get a little younger behind the plate perhaps, maybe bring in a younger outfielder, maybe another bat into your lineup, maybe some help for the bullpen. And actually, I think that if they did that with the right mix, they could actually be a better team in the second half and actually make a real run for the wild card, because I do believe they can run for the wild card, because the teams they're ahead of them, most of those teams, I think, will eventually fade away a little bit. So the Rangers, I still think, are the best shot at the wild card. But anyway, that's what I would do, buy and sell, David.
No, I mean, I'd also have to see what's out there that some people would be willing to give up. I think the Rangers' best possibility of picking someone up are in the AL East, looking at Boston and the Yankees. I think they've got a lot of
players that can come in and just fill that void already. I think they've also got, at least the Yankees may have some younger talent coming in, because they've been trying to rebuild for the last few years as well, because, I mean, under Steinbrenner, I mean, you know, they always, you know, bought their teams. Now they're starting to look at what the Royals did many years back when, before they won their World Series. They've seen what it's done with Houston, looking at their farm systems. So I think those two teams possibly have some potentials where they could just come on right in with the Rangers and fit right in. I mean, I like the idea of seeing what you could do for Darvish. I think another person that we could throw in the mix is also Mike Napoli. I mean, he only signed a one-year deal, so, or was it a one or a three? I couldn't remember.
No, 1 year.
I thought it was a one year.
No, it is 1 year. Yeah, it is one.
So that's another person you could probably throw out there. I mean, you got a guy, a veteran guy, who has a lot of experience, playoff experience, World Series experience. He can DH. He can play first. And he's a great guy in the clubhouse. So I don't see any team that wouldn't want to pick up a guy like Mike Napoli. I mean, you also threw in LaCroix as well. I think Carlos Gomez could be another possibility. I'd kind of keep Delino DeShields. He's turned his season around, that I like to actually see more in the lineup with the Rangers. Profar is another possibility of throwing the name out and seeing what you could get for him. Same with Ryan Rua. So the Rangers have some possibilities that they could throw in there to see what they could get on the other end. But then I'm not sure who all out there the Rangers really want that could fill these voids. I mean,
right.
I just haven't
well,
really looked that deep. And they're out there, though. I mean, every team's
oh,
got
of course.
It.
No, I think you're right. I think these names are out there. We may not be – I mean, who knew who David Murphy was, for example, when he was traded to the Rangers in 2007, or Elvis Andros and all those guys who came for Teixeira. I mean, no, we didn't know any of those guys, but they became successful players. I just think that if you can get rid of a couple of veterans, and again, I love LuCroy. He's a great catcher, and Darvish is good too. I would also throw in Sinchin Shu as a potential person you move. He could be very valuable to a team in the American League that likes to have an extra bat, maybe a DH. So, I mean, there's guys they can move, and they can get younger. And that's my whole point, Carlos, that they could actually get better by getting younger and then go for a run at the wild card. See, here's my point. If you get younger and you run at the wild card and you don't make it, everybody doesn't feel that bad. But if you run at the wild card with the team you currently have and don't make it, that's not good, because everybody's going to say, why didn't you move Darvish? Why didn't you move LuCroix if you're going to lose him anyway, Carlos?
Yeah, and I know David was talking about the Yankees and the Red Sox. There's a guy that I would love to have here, and you know, we're talking about getting rid of LuCroix. Christian Vasquez, the place for the Red Sox. He's only 26. Last year he kind of set out a little bit because he had Tommy John surgery, but I watched him play over the last, you know, part of this season, and you know, he is a good defensive catcher, and right now he's batting .280. So I think he would be a great addition. I mean, let's get LuCroix over there and get Vasquez. I think as someone we could sign long term. I'm with you. You and I talked about this. I think we do need to make some changes. I mean, as we know from when Nolan Ryan was here, you know, he went young and started pulling trades and got a lot of good prospect. And then there for many years, we had the number one minor league system. And then when he went to Houston, he has done the same thing in finding, you know, the recipe for success. That's what Daniels needs to do. I'm not as optimistic as you are about the wild card. I just with the, unless we get some good you know, middle relief to closers. I just don't see it happening this year. And the way the Astros have the pedal to the metal, I think it might be time for a fire sale, and let's prepare for the next year or two and become better.
I think you're right as far as winning the West. I think I pretty much have written off winning the West. I mean, that's out of the question because they just don't have – I mean, it's not so much – I mean, the Rangers could go 60 – I mean, they could win – they could win two out of three and still not catch the Astros unless the Astros just totally collapse. But I would simply – I mean, and I'm sure John Daniels is doing this right now. I'm sure they got their scouts out there looking at players, but the Red Sox were just in here, and they have this young outfielder, left-handed outfielder, who's got the Italian last name. I can't pronounce his name. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about, but he's a young, good-looking left-handed outfielder who you might be able to get from the Red Sox in the right deal. I mean, the Red Sox could use a guy like Darvish. They could probably use a guy like Napoli could go back there. He was with them when they won the World Series. So this is all I'm saying is, you know, if you go for the wild card with the team you have right now, you may not make it, and then you're going to feel pretty bad as a fan. But if you get younger and you fight for the wild card, then at least you finish the season with a good feeling, David.
Yeah, is that Andrew Benintendi, however you pronounce it.
Yeah,
that's who it is. Andrew Benintendi, I think it is. I thought he was a really good-looking outfielder. I mean, just good-looking hitter. I mean, I really thought it'd be cool to have him.
And just to let you know, today's his birthday.
It is.
July 6th.
And how old is he?
23.
Oh, that's what I mean. See, that's – he, you know, he kind of reminds me of David Murphy. A young David Murphy, that's who he reminds me of. But that's what I'm thinking. You know, a guy like that, I mean, there are some organizations right now that have really good farm systems, the Nationals, the Cubs, the Red Sox, the Astros. The Dodgers, the Rockies, the D-backs. I mean, the Rockies and D-backs are in this thing to win their division. So they're going to need help. Again, I don't know all their rosters and what their needs are, but, you know, Milwaukee is in the race this year. The Cubs may very well need a guy like Darvish to finish the year. So, I mean, there's teams out there that could use these guys, and they've got a lot of young talent with the Cubs guys. I mean, again, I don't know all the farm systems. I just kind of generally know who the better ones are. And the Cubs, the Nationals, the Red Sox, Astros, those are the ones that everybody talks about, David.
Yeah, and you could even look at the Mets, too. I mean, I know they're kind of seeing who they can ship out as well. They're trying to do a major overhaul on their team, so you could possibly look to see what they've got, if it would even work.
David, isn't that what they do every year?
You mean the Mets?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's
I mean,
the
every
Mets fans,
every once
yeah.
in a blue moon they go to the World Series, but most of the time they're just trying to have a fire sale.
Well, the one thing you can say about the Mets, they have the pitching staff with the longest hair in the major leagues. I think everybody in the Mets looks like a rock and roll star, you know, from the 70s, with hair down to his neck. Have you noticed that? Every time you're watching the Mets play. I mean, everybody on their team looks like a rock star from the 70s with hair down to the neck. So that's how I feel about the Rangers. They should buy and sell, but they need to do something. I mean, they need to do something. This has not been a fun year for anybody. Carlos, one last thought about the Rangers before we take a break.
Just like what I just said, we just need to have a fire sale. Let's get ready for the next couple seasons down the road and move on. I just don't see it happening this year.
David?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Carlos on that, and you know, just see what you can get with what we have right now. I mean, we've already almost emptied out our whole farm system. We need to figure out what we have with our current roster, because we don't need to go any further, I would say, in debt on our farm system.
Well, no, you're right. From what I understand about the – I'll just say one quick thing, and then we'll take a break, and we'll talk about some of the other teams. What I understand from the Rangers farm system right now is that most of the talent is down in, at the lower end. So the talent is probably a couple of years away. They do, from what I understand, they do have some good young talent down there because they've drafted a lot of pitchers and so on. They just don't have a lot of guys at Triple A that could be here, you know, right away. That's their situation. You're exactly right. They got rid of a lot of young guys. I don't have a problem with that because they won two divisions by doing that, but they don't have a lot. They couldn't go out and do a trade like Cliff Lee or Hamels this year. They just don't have enough guys to make a deal like that. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back with Carlos and with David right after this. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. We're doing Dallas-Fort Worth sports tonight with our friends David Busby and Carlos Torres, and we just talked about the Rangers. Let's go to some of the other teams right now. Carlos, you were telling me about the Cowboys. The Cowboys, of course, will start training camp in a couple of weeks. I think everybody around here is still pretty optimistic about the Cowboys. I am. But you were telling me something about a promotion that they're doing in different countries, Carlos.
Yeah, so I noticed this a couple months ago. As being from Puerto Rico, I'm always cheering everything Puerto Rico, especially the World Baseball Classic. But I was looking at something, and all of a sudden this hat caught my eye, and it was a Dallas Cowboys hat. Bright red Cowboys hat with a blue, the kind of bright blue color. And I was like, that's a neat-looking hat. And then when I started looking at it, it had the Puerto Rican flag on the side. I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know. There's the joke that all Puerto Rican people like to wear the flag, and it's a true joke. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I got to have that. And I just thought it was somebody was doing this special, but come to find out, as we know, the NFL, as money hungry as they are, they have decided to create hats for, in Puerto Rico's case, a territory and two other countries that are big football fans, and start marketing it that way. And one of the teams, of course, America's team, and really the world's team, is the number one franchise in the entire world, is the Cowboys. And so the Cowboys have special hats, one for Puerto Rico, which I currently own, thanks to my girls for my Father's Day present. They also have the Dominican Republic, and the last one they have is for Mexico. And, I urge everyone out there to look. I mean, they're neat hats, so... But once again, the NFL's doing everything they can to lure people to buy their merchandise. And of course, my girls were suckered into doing it, and
right.
I do love the hat. So,
it's kind of cool
to look at.
Yeah. I know they've always had the NFL has always had a big interest in Mexico. And I was talking to a friend of mine on Facebook the other day. He lives in Argentina. And he's a big fan of the Cowboys. In fact, that's how we became friends, because we were in a group together, and when he learned that I was from Dallas, he was asking me all these questions about the Cowboys, and it turns out the Cowboys are huge in Argentina, in Brazil. But the place that they're really big is in Mexico. Mexico is huge,
yeah,
the Cowboys. And, of course, what the NFL looks for in Mexico is the fact that, you know, Mexico is a country of 100 million people. About 100 million, I think. Yeah, about 100 million. But if you look at Mexico, you maybe have a potential middle class there, maybe, let's say, 25 or 30 million people who could be not just enjoy the game, but could be consumers of whatever the NFL promotes in their games. Well, 25 or 30 million people, that's like the state of California. So that's a huge market for the NFL, television
mm-hmm.
market, that is, that the NFL, at least in Mexico, has always capitalized on. So, yeah, I think the NFL, the one thing they do very well is marketing. You got to give them that. They are...
Oh yeah,
marketing. They're second to none. I mean, they do marketing as well as anybody. But let's kind of go around the Cowboys for a second. I'm extremely optimistic about the Cowboys next year. I think it's going to be a pretty good season. I don't know that they're going to go 12-4, but I think it's going to be a good season. How about you, David?
I think they'll have a pretty good season. I don't think they'll have the kind of season they had last year where they went 13-3. I think they're probably going to be one less than what you were saying. They may end up 11-5. I mean, they just even looking at their schedule, it's going to be a true test as far as how good this team is going to be and how well their defense is going to be since they lost so many players. And so, I mean, they've got the Packers, and of course, you know, they still have their two games with the Redskins and the Giants and the Eagles. You've got the Atlanta Falcons there. You're at, I guess, the Los Angeles Raiders, if they've moved there now. You got the Seahawks. So, I mean, you've got some tough teams that you're going to have to go against. So I don't see them going 13-3. I see more of like 11-5 kind of season that they'll – obviously battle the Giants because they don't ever seem to go away.
No. Well, when you have the quarterback, you know, one of those quarterbacks, you know, I can't think of their name right now, the quarterback with the Giants, number 10.
Eli Manning.
Eli Manning. For a minute there, I couldn't think of his name. When you have a young quarterback, I mean, not a young guy anymore, but when you have a quarterback like that with Manning on the jersey, that's a pretty good quarterback, to say the least. How about you, Carlos? Do you feel pretty good about them? I do. I feel great about them.
Yeah, I agree 100% with what David said. You know, right now, that was my thing, is the defense kind of got taken apart a little bit. And the other problem, and unfortunately, it's just, as longtime Cowboy fans, some of these Cowboys are getting arrested. For various
right.
stupid things, especially this
yeah.
On the 4th of July, what was his name? He drove his car into a person and then pulled out a shotgun. So, I mean, just stupid stuff. And if we had a better defense, I'd definitely feel much better about him. But the defense is going to be the big question. We know the offense is there. We know they're very powerful. So, but, you know, they're going to have to – there's going to be some games where we're just going to have to get that last touchdown or field goal to win the game.
Yeah, Damian Wilson.
Yeah, was that his
yeah.
name? Damian Wilson?
Damian Wilson.
Yeah.
Yep.
I couldn't think of his name. But, David, let me ask you a question, and Carlos as well, but David first. Are you at all concerned with Prescott in his second year? Sometimes, you know, a young player will have a very good season, a rookie season, first year. I know this happens a lot in baseball. And the second year, it's like they learn how to pitch to him. And all of a sudden, you know, the 300 hitter hits 240 his second year. And then he has to adjust and come back the third year. Are you concerned at all, David, that Prescott may not be as good the second time around, that he may just, maybe the defenses will catch up with him, David?
I don't think he'll have a stellar
career like he, or stellar season as he did his rookie season. He doesn't have the strong offensive line that he had last season. I mean, I don't see him having basically this sophomore blues and everything. I think his stats are going to go down a bit just because of the offensive line. I think that as well as the schedule is going to be a part of it. I think as far as him mentally, I think he's got a strong head on his shoulders. He knows the game. He knows what it takes to be in this kind of situation. I mean, we saw how well he handled the pressure coming in when Romo couldn't even play. And just seeing what he did with that team, his rookie season. So I don't think a mental lapse is going to be the issue. I think it's going to be more of the people around him is going to contradict how he's going to play.
Yeah, interesting. How about you, Carlos? Do you have any concerns at all about a what they call in baseball the sophomore jinx? Any concerns, Carlos?
I'm going to tell you something about Prescott. You know, that guy works very hard. He studies hard. He's looking at film. You know, he's had a very busy off season, and he's been concentrating on that job. Like Dave said, the offensive line, it's a little less than last year, so less protection. But, no, I still feel like he's going to have a good season this year. I'm hoping he doesn't have that sophomore blues because, I mean, you know, him and Zeke are pretty much our whole offense. You know, we have some good receivers. But I do feel really good about him. I think it's going to be a good season. Like I said, he's just going to have to make sure we outscore everybody at the end because I don't think there's going to be much help in the defense other than Xavier Woods. I'm a big fan of Xavier Woods. He's a cornerback. I had the pleasure of watching him play the last three seasons at Louisiana Tech, and I was really happy that we drafted him here. So, you know, I think he's going to be a great cornerback as someone that's seen him play in person many times. I think he's going to, you know, I don't know where Marinelli's going to put him, but he is quick and has a lot of interceptions and stuff. So it's good. I'm excited about that part of the defense.
Yeah, well, that's good. I'm going to keep an eye on him, especially in the exhibition season when he's probably going to get to play a lot. Now, as far as the Mavericks are concerned, I'm a little confused in this off season because it seems like I'm hearing too much from Mark Cuban, who seems to have an opinion about everything going on in the world. But I don't hear too much about the NBA side of it. I mean, he's got opinions about Trump. He's got opinions about health care. He's got opinions about – and I'm wondering if maybe he's getting distracted from the Mavericks. David, do you have the same reaction? I mean, I don't know what to say about the Mavericks. How about you, David?
I think, Mark Cuban's got his voice on other things. And as far as basketball, it just seems like Mark Cuban's just kind of being the John Daniels of the winter meetings two seasons ago or three seasons when he was just so quiet. And you're like, is the guy doing anything to help his team? I mean, I've heard very little as far as what's going on with the Mavs. I mean, I know they're doing well right now in this little summer league that they've got going on. But as far as, you know, trying to put people around Barnes and my mind's gone blank after a lot of the players that they're trying to keep and work around. With Wesley as well and just trying to get this team prepped and ready for, you know, when Dirk finally decides to hang up his jersey. I mean, I hear more about, you know, Mark Cuban wanting to turn Dirk Nowitzki's locker into like this kind of shrine more than who's going to have on the court.
Right. Well, he's been in the news a lot, Mark Cuban. And again, I'm not knocking Mark Cuban. He's got every right to. I mean, when you're a billionaire, I guess you have people are going to listen to what you have to say. But it seems like an unusual off season for the Mavericks. Now, what about the Stars? Go ahead. Were you going to say something about the Mavericks? Yeah, go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah. and Dave just talked about making it into a shrine, but the Mavs signed Nowitzki to another 2-year contract today, $10 million. I don't know what they're trying to do there. We all love Dirk. He's the best Mavs ever. But they're talking about maybe getting a couple players. I think they were trying to get Jalen Rose over here. He's not going to sign here. They're trying to pick up a couple players to complement Dirk, but Dirk's playing hurt a lot. And, he's not a young guy anymore. And his time is sort of like, with Romo. We kept Romo for way, way too long and just trying to make something out of nothing. At least with Dirk, we got a championship out of it. But it might be time to like Jerry Jones, it's time to let it go. Time to let him go and let's build on something. It just seems like we're just trying to piecemeal a team for the last 4 years.
Yeah, we've talked about it. But I think the last time we talked about the Mavericks that, we just wanted to have some kind of a plan. Some kind of a plan, and unfortunately we don't have one. By the way, if it makes you feel any better about the Rangers, the Cubs are 42-43. So, of course, the difference is the Cubs are like two out of the first place, or not two, but
four and
five games. Four and a half. So it's not quite the same thing. But 42-43, I'm sure the Cubs fans probably – we're expecting something a lot better. Well, let's talk about the Stars. The Stars are also in the offseason, but I think you guys, from what I'm hearing from you guys on Sundays, you two are pretty happy with what the Stars are doing. So, Carlos, you go first.
Not just us. One of the analysts, Josh Cooper from ESPN, he is saying that the winner of the NHL free agency so far is your Dallas Stars. And that is a very, very true statement. Starting with Hitchcock, this is a controversial signing because, a lot of us have been around. We love Hitch, but we know what he is. He's defense first. And we know that in the NHL over the last decade that defense first has kind of disappeared. But, Hitch was the coach for St. Louis, and they did really good the last couple of years. So he just couldn't get him over that hump into the Stanley Cup Finals. But having Hitch here is going to be great. But from the free agency standpoint, the guy's name, it's Alexander Rudloff. He played for the Canadiens. And he's going to take Patrick Sharp's place over in the right wing. He's a little controversial. He's grown up a little bit, but he's had some off-the-field problems. But on the field, he's talented, and he's probably going to play with Sagan and Ben, and that's going to be a killer first line. Martin Hansel, that plays for Minnesota, or used to play for Minnesota. We signed him for a couple of years. He's replacing Cody Eakin, who unfortunately went over to Las Vegas. But the biggest one, it was a trade, and then we signed him for 6 years. And I'm sure Dave will say something about this, is Ben Bishop. That is one good goalie. If we look at the last four seasons, Bishop is the number two or three goalie in wins and goals against average. So what was our Achilles heel is now our strong, has become a lot stronger. And in the defense, Mark Method, he played for Ottawa for the Senators. Same thing. He's kind of have some off the ice issues, but I think he's looking to concentrate on hockey and become a better player. And I think that's going to be really good. That's another one that was kind of an Achilles heel was our defense. But right now we have about 8 defensemen, so we'll have to make some choices there on who to keep and who not to keep. But I'm super excited. I'm very excited. And I know I talked a lot, so let me shut up so Dave can say.
I think, David,
himself.
I think Carlos beat you to the punch that time there. Kind of, I wonder what he left you to talk about.
Stanley Cup, I guess.
There
that's
you
all.
Go.
I mean,
nice.
I mean, now
there
we got to wrap
go.
Up our time, but no, I'm just kidding. I mean, I was surprised. I really was surprised that Vegas gave up Mark Method because I was really thinking he was going to be the captain of that Vegas team. So I was really shocked that he came over to the Stars in the trade. And, I mean, this kid's going to be incredible. I mean, I say kid that he's only 32, but, you know, I'm only 39. I know. I mean,
you're more
about,
of a kid than either one of us, David. You're more of a kid than either one of us.
Because I mean, they're talking about matching him up with Don Klingberg, who's got more of an offensive minded than Method. So you've got both sides. You've got a defensive minded on one end. You've got an offensive-minded defenseman on the other end, and I hope Klingberg can get out of his little slump that he had last season and everything. But I think breaking up Klingberg and Lindell is going to be a huge if they can do that because both of them are both offensive-minded. So I think what you've got here is you got Klingberg and Method. You got Lindell and Patrick Nemeth is possibly your number twos. Or you put in Julius Honka, who's, I mean, this kid has an unbelievable career ahead of him, I do believe. I mean, we've barely seen what this kid can do. He's going to be another, you know, Daryl Sador / Sergei Zubov combined.
Mm-hmm.
I think him possibly on the third line.
To sort of summarize what both of you guys have said about the Stars, I hear Stanley Cup there, and the translation of what you two guys are saying is Stanley Cup. So that gets me excited because you guys know a lot more about the Stars than I do. So if you're talking Stanley Cup, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
I think we're about a season away. I think it's going to take time for these players to gel and work well with each other and just kind of mold and know how they work and operate on the ice. Plus, you've got a new coach. You've got Stu Barnes and some others that are coming in. You got Rick Wilson coming back with the Stars. So I think all of this combined, it's going to take another year, I would say, no more than two, to really see what kind of impact this team has.
No, I think you're right. I think it takes a while with a new coach and everything, but at least they're headed in the right direction. That's all we want as a fan. You know, you just want to have hope that they're headed in the right direction. Well, guys, that's going to wrap it up, but I do want to thank you, as always, for joining us, and we'll do it again maybe after the trade deadline and so on, as we get closer to Labor Day, we can take a look at the Rangers and the Cowboys again. But I have a feeling that when we do our hockey show, that you two guys are going to be very high on the Stars. Would that be fair to say, guys?
Extremely.
Yep.
Okay. All right, David. All right, Carlos. Thank you for your time. Have a wonderful evening, both of you. And your families, and I look forward to doing the show again with you.
Yes, thank you,
Sylvia.
All right, thank you so much. David Busby, Carlos Torres, my good friends here in the Dallas area. We always enjoy talking sports, and We enjoy it so much that the time flies, as you could tell. Time's up. Thank you for listening. Good night, everybody.